As you note in your bulletin, there will be a meeting of the congregation at 12:15 today, following the 11 o'clock service. This concludes our study of Galatians. Before we deal with the final verses, I would have us do something that uniquely the church can do, and that is go corporately to God in prayer. As we read about the Mideast and that growing crisis, I feel how appropriate that we bring the power of God to bear again upon that situation over which no one seems to have any control, but we know God does. And I would invite you to come as the people of God, and in silence, let's concentrate today on asking God to bring a solution of peace to that senseless warfare happening over there. Let us pray together. Lord, you are the sovereign God of the universe. You are in control of history. We confess that fact today and pray for peace in the Mideast, in Central America, wherever the fires of war are burning. God, even now, bring peace for Jesus' sake. Amen. You might want to keep your Bibles open to the Galatian passage. Engraved in the hearts of most of us is an awareness that somewhere, sometime, we are going to give an account of our behavior to God for what we did in this life. Some scoff at that inner message and discount it with humor, such as, I wouldn't want to go to heaven because I'd miss all my friends, and we've all heard that one. Others drown themselves in activities or addictions so they don't have to think about the scary reality of an eternal future and an encounter with God and judgment. Nevertheless, the truth of our text stands, and I want you to look at it as I read it. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Every day we're involved in sowing seeds of behavior that eventually will sprout in a character that you and I are going to bear forever. And Paul tells us it's either going to be a character carved by the flesh that leads to corruption, or a character molded by the Spirit leading to life everlasting. Paul simply says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived into believing we can sow wild oats in this life and reap strawberries in eternity. God is not mocked. Many of us seem genius at fooling ourselves and others, but no one can fool God. Courageously, Paul tells us, you and I are responsible for the person that we're going to become for eternity by the decisions we're making today, this morning. Every act we sow is a seed that eventually becomes an eternal part of us. We've all heard the truism, sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. And sow a character and reap a destiny. We're going to take a moment now to study this principle of sowing and reaping. I won't be saying anything new. The purpose of this sermon today is to remind us of what we know and to give us a clean new sweep on starting to practice it. First, consider, look at the text, what it might mean to sow in the flesh. Looking back to chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, we find behavior patterns characterizing life in the flesh. And remember, we studied those. Paul was very specific. Impurity, jealousy, anger, etc., the long list. And you and I fit in there somewhere, depending on what day of the week and what we're doing. The point is, what behavior we feed grows. What we starve eventually dies. Nurture a grudge, wallow in self-pity, fill our minds with ungodly smut and fantasy, murmur about the terrible burdens that God has afflicted us uniquely with and how unblessed we are, and we set a time bomb ticking that eventually will bear the harvest of destructive behavior, life in the flesh. You can count on it. Life in the flesh that kind of behavior doesn't just come from the air. It comes as the result of making many decisions in our thoughts, in what we take in, that then bears fruit in our life. Be assured then, it does matter what we think about, what we say, what we read, what we see. The older I grow, the more I become convinced that I'm affected by everything that I allow to go into me. I didn't used to believe that as a child. Now, I don't consider myself, for example, a prudish preacher. Those of you who know me would probably agree. But you know, I found there's some things associated with the flesh I can't handle. For example, I've never wanted to see a pornographic movie. Not because only because I'm a prude, but because I don't really want those images carved in me. They don't go away. Some people can see that kind of stuff and forget it, I imagine. With me, they sort of make a permanent impression and then they flash back. And I don't want that kind of garbage in me. That's perhaps my weakness. I don't know what yours is, but I do know we all have a weak link somewhere, and you can find it in that list of the flesh. If we tend to gossip, it's best not to associate with those who enjoy slandering other people. That's good common sense. If we can't handle alcohol, it wouldn't be smart to spend huge amounts of time with people who drink as a central focus of their social activity. The point is, what we nourish grows. Don't be surprised if we choose to nourish our fleshly nature, that one day we're going to find ourselves caught in some activity of the flesh, and we don't have to throw up our hands and wonder where it came from. It came from choices we made. It's no mystery. Now turn the coin over, and sowing in the Spirit is an identical happening. Choose to practice closeness to Christ in our thinking. Choose friends who share our passion for wholeness, for obedience. Fill our minds and read that which draws us closer toward the maturity of accepting God's authority and His guidelines for living. Decide Jesus is going to be Lord of our behavior in spite of what our culture or personal lusts are saying. And these choices, too, become grooved in our character. And gradually we begin to bear the image of Jesus. And I think that's exciting. That's a potential for everyone in this room this morning. 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul says, we're being changed into His likeness from one degree of glory to another. And I might add, by the choices we make, by the habits we're developing, by what we allow to go into us and what we allow to come out of us, what we're sowing, either to the flesh or to the Spirit. Almost a childlike analogy, so simple. And yet it's so profound to life as we know it. So here is the bottom line of sowing and reaping in the flesh or spirit. Sow to the flesh and reap the brokenness of decay morally until the image of God is destroyed in our character forever. That's a fact. It can happen. Sow to the Spirit, reap a wholeness of Christ's likeness characterized by love, joy, peace, gentleness that will also follow us not only into this life, but into eternity. Most of us agree our lives are not static. If we're not growing, we're dying. What we don't use dies. Put your leg in a cast, and you'll find your muscles deteriorate. If we're not building our character, it's deteriorating. And so, again, something so basic. What are you sowing as a Christian in your life? What are you nourishing? What's living? What's dying in you? Asks Paul. That question we'll be answering for all eternity. Dr. Scott Peck makes this profound statement about sowing to the flesh from a psychiatric viewpoint. There can be a state of soul against which love itself is powerless because it has hardened itself against love. Hell is essentially a state of being which we fashion for ourselves, a state of final separateness from God, which is not the result of God repudiating us, but us rejecting God. And so actually hell is made up of a whole bunch of choices we make in this life. God sends no one there. We send ourselves because we become so hardened, we can't reach out and accept His loving forgiveness. Again, the point of the text, God is not mocked. What we sow, one day we're going to reap. You can count on it. This is a truth of life. We neglect it at our peril. And as we study Galatians, I hold it in front of you today to consider. An equally important truth, if you look again at the text, is that Christians will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't grow weary in well-doing. Very little is easy about living the Christian life. Hanging in there with obedience is tough. It's like a farmer waiting for the harvest. The psalmist reminds us how sometimes we tend to question the value of staying faithful. Do you ever feel like the psalmist? It seems people who forget God have a better time of it than us who obey Him. The psalmist says they have no pangs. Their bodies are sound and sleek. They are not in trouble as other men are. Do you ever feel that about people you know? You've stayed faithful to the Lord and all you get is a big load and life seems to just be beautiful for them. And therefore he concludes, and maybe sometimes we're tempted to, especially in June when we're tired, all in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. Have you ever had moments where you really wonder if following Jesus is worth the price? You've been faithful for years and it seems that it doesn't get easier but harder. And you wonder what in the world is going on and why those people who never darken the door of a church seem to have it so much better. But then the psalmist went to church and he says, I went into the sanctuary of God and I perceived their end. They're destroyed in a moment. When my soul was embittered, I was stupid and ignorant. Whom have I in heaven but thee? In the long run, he says, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He took a forward look and he saw how temporary are all the so-called blessings of the wicked and how long-term and how guaranteed is the harvest of one who stays faithful. If you're a businessman and you're struggling to stay honest and paying a price, and those who aren't honest seem to be prospering, hang tough. God says it's worth it to hang in there, even if it costs you something in this life. If you're wondering about staying committed in marriage, if you keep pouring into your children and seem to get so little response back from them, hang in there. You can see others who drop out, seem to get away with it, but in long term, they will pay. The text says, if you don't grow weary in well-doing, you will reap. Sometimes we think we'll really never make it as a Christian. The load seems so heavy, but the guarantee in this text is that if we continue to make decisions of walking in the Spirit, one day you and I are going to bear the image of Jesus Christ forever. And what a prized possession that will be. And instead of inheriting corruption, you and I will inherit eternal life and His likeness of joy and purity and peace and obedience forever. So if you're wondering this morning, maybe God brought you to church to encourage you. Hang in there. Don't drop out. The finish line is coming, and it will pay off. Again, quoting Dr. Scott Peck, as we conclude this study, he says, I hope people will take God, Christ, and themselves far more seriously than they do. We do leave our mark on history. We have a choice. We have freedom to choose whether we're going to submit to God and to what God represents, truth, love, and light, or refuse to submit our will in any way, which means we're choosing to be enslaved to the powers of darkness and evil. We have to choose one kind of enslavement or another, either the enslavement to God or the refusal to be submitted to that which God stands for. And that automatically means to become enslaved to Satan. C.S. Lewis said, there is no neutral ground in the universe. You believe that this morning? Again, what are you nourishing? What are you feeding? What needs to die? What needs to live? Are you ready to make that decision because you came to worship today? If you're feeding the flesh, I guarantee one day it will give you its reward, corruption. If you're feeding the Spirit, I guarantee you one day it'll give you reward, life everlasting. And the choice is up to us. I've had trouble in my 40s with skin cancer. The doctors tell me it's the result of what I did as a teenager, too much sunshine on the beach in Southern California. And what I did then, I started accumulating radiation. And what I did in my teenage years starts showing in my 40s. Now I'm trying to tell my teenagers, hey, look what happened to your dad. Why don't you get out of the sun? Put on sunscreen. And you know what their reaction is? Hey, Dad, we're going to tan now and pay later. And they think I'm some kind of a nut. And you know, that's what I said to my folks. The point is, I still go in and get these little goodies burned off. I'm paying for it. That's a negative example. But you know, some people are as indifferent on the spiritual level about their future eternity as my kids are indifferent about their skin. But again, with far more serious consequences. You've heard this morning, to sow in the flesh is to reap corruption. To sow in the spirit is to reap life everlasting. What are you going to do about it? Scoff or change? The choice is up to you. The one thing I guarantee, the harvest is coming. The text says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You know, I just pray God brought you to this service today, brought me, so we can go into our lives and clean up the stuff where we're falling into the flesh, find forgiveness, and get going straight again. And then start filling the things that are going to make us more, feeding the things that are going to make us more like Jesus Christ. And if you make that choice today, that's a choice that will lead to other choices, until one day, one degree after another, we'll bear Christ's image. That's the promise from our study in Galatians. I pray we'll find the freedom and the commitment to become, as a church and as individuals, everything God wants us to be. Nothing is easy about the Christian life, folks. The only bad news is anything but the Christian life is even more difficult in the long run. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.